This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Hey, welcome back to Life Sculptors. This is Dante Poole. I am your host, The Conversationalist, and I'm so delighted to be back with you having conversations that help our lives take shape. It's a snowy day here in North Carolina, and I am enjoying watching it, but I don't miss having to shovel it. So it is so good. It's just wonderful to see it, you know, and appreciate it in different ways. I have friends that love the snow. I know they are just excited about what's happening today, and you know who you are. And so yeah, all the good. So listen, today we continue our conversation about all the things that are happening. I mean, so like in March, my new book's going to be released, Developing a Durable Mind. And I can't wait to get it into your hands. I know you've been anticipating it. We are getting all the things set up so you can do some pre-ordering and all those things. So just know that I'm working hard to get that to you so that we can make that happen. Man, it's going to be a good thing. It's already been a good thing. And I am, again, really excited about it and can't wait to share it with you and the rest of the world. But today's conversation, it's based on a book by Vashti Harrison. Vashti Harrison. And the title of the book is Big. Now, there are pictures and things in this book that I'm probably going to have to describe in order for you to really have the full impact of it. And so some of the words I share may not be what is actually written, but I have to describe this to you so you can get the fullness of what this is. So here we go. Vashti Harrison's Big. Once there was a girl with a big laugh and a big heart and very big dreams. She learned her ABCs and 1-2-3s. She always said please and thank you and even put away all her toys. At dinner, she ate all her food. What a big girl you are, the adults would say. And it was good. She grew and learned and laughed and dreamed and grew and grew and grew. And it was good. Y'all, the words on the page are kind, caring, considerate, smart, creative, free, fun, graceful, nimble, compassionate, imaginative. And it was good until it was not. You're a big girl, aren't you? Said Santa Claus while she was sitting on his lap. And she's the biggest one in line on her second grade line as they're lining up. And then one day, something happened. She's racing to the swings with her friends. I can't wait for the recital, her friends say. I'm going to be a rose. I'm going to be a daisy. But this little girl says, uh-oh. Because she realizes she's stuck in the swing. Help, she says. But the other kids don't. Oh my gosh. Well, Look, she's stuck. Moo. You mean more like moose. An adult comes over to help her, and they struggle and they wrestle and they finally get out of the swing. And the adult responds, "Don't you think you're too big for that?" It made her feel small. And the words stung and were hard to shake off. She's looking at herself in the mirror and the words are stuck on her skin. She began to feel not herself, out of place, exposed, judged, yet invisible. Everyone had advice, too. "That's no good," said the dance instructor as she put on the tutu. "Try this instead." Man, she painted a whole gray dress on her, but that kind of hurt, too. "This is perfect for you." While all the other little girls were daisies and flowers, she was a mountain in the cloud. "The flower costume won't fit," said the dance instructor. "You're just too big." And she ran off. "Where are you going? What did I say?" She huddles in a corner. And she starts having thoughts of how big she is. And in the pictures, she just is taking up a lot of space with her bigness. And she's crying. And it's apparent that she's struggling. And then she has these voices that say, "Aren't you too big to be crying? Have you tried being smaller? Why can't you just fit in?" One day, she finally let it all out. She cries out the words, "Too big, moose, ha ha, big girl, cow." But she also cries out creative and imaginative. And she started to see things more clearly. And she decided to make space for herself and was able to see her way out. She goes back to the people and she has the positive words in one hand and the negative words that they offer to her in the other. And she says, "These are yours. They hurt me." And she hands them back to the people who gave them to her. But not everyone understood or even listened. The one who called her a whale said, "It's a joke." And the one who said she was a big girl said, "It's not that serious." And the one who said she was too big said, "You're too sensitive." And the one with the word that laughed at her says, "I didn't mean to hurt you." And she said, "Some tried. But they still couldn't see." Someone offered her a hand. "I can help you change if you want." And she responds, "No, thank you. I like the way I am." They couldn't see that she was just a girl. And she was good. The words are back on the page. Creative, imaginative, good, compassionate, gentle, smart, funny, sweet, kind. The end. Oh, man, Vashti. What a great write, girl. You did this thing right here. Big. See, by definition, right, big is, it means to be considerable in size or characteristic or of importance. And to consider something is to think about it, is to consider it, is to think carefully about it, to make an account or take into an account for it, to regard it, to come to judge or even classify something. we have personalities and deep emotions and strong opinions that are big. Yep. Yep. We like big things too, right? We like big houses, big cars, big bank accounts. We want to win big and to be seen as phenomenal or extraordinary. We have been convinced that big is good and it is good to us until it's not. See, that big car is great until you have to put gas in it or until you have to put tires on that joker. Yeah. And see, when we live in a world that celebrates the big about us, but judges us when our kind of big no longer fits into the box they have created for us. And this leaves us with a choice to make. We can either accept the box by shrinking ourselves to fit in, or we can be ourselves fully and learn to manage the rejection of others. There's a recent trend happening on social media, and here's the phrase, and when I say it, it's going to be familiar to you. We listen and we don't judge. Like, this is our feeble attempt at trying to create space for honesty and authenticity. Like, this is how we're going to do that? We're going to use comedy? We're going to make it a trend? Why is it that something has to become trendy before we can tell the truth about it? Why do we have to make it comical in order for us to be honest? So making it funny or socially acceptable somehow makes it easier for us to address it? It's all good until it's not. See, in the story, the girl has an incident where she gets stuck in the swing, and her friends, air quotes, right, don't offer to help her, but do offer to ridicule, to tease her, to make fun of her, they use their words negatively towards her. Even the adult who offers to help, again in air quotes, struggles to get her dislodged from the swing and then offers negative words with a matching facial expression that says, "Don't you think you're too big for that?" Words matter, y'all. Words matter. Like, there's power in our words, and words are especially when they're repeated. When they're said to us over and over again, and may not be the same words, but in different ways, the same sentiment, they have the ability to shape how we see ourselves. See, we use words to label and to judge and to categorize what we think about people. And it's what we think people ought to be based on what we've determined is good. And we can be so careless with our words, right? We don't even realize that what we're saying has an impact on others. Like, we're not even always aware of how our words are impacting other people. The old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words what? Will never hurt me. Such a lie. Like, sticks and stones will absolutely break your bones. But words, they can break your soul. And a wounded soul is so much harder to heal than a broken arm. So why do negative words stick to us like crazy glue while our positive words stick to us like cheap post-it notes? Like, how do external negative labels impact us so much that they affect our self-perception and our identity formation? Like, what labels are you carrying? positive or negative? And how are they shaping your journey? Mm-hmm. Don Ruiz, in his book, The Four Agreements, he says it this way. He says that we make agreements with negative labels others place on us. What? We make agreements with the labels? Y'all. It's like, wow. So when how we make agreements is we live them out. We accept them. We wear them. We become them. And the question is, how do we break those old agreements? Right? How do we get away from the agreements that are not serving us well? We've been domesticated into believing that being normal is being like everybody else. When we're young, right? We were free to be who we were. We just be who we were. But as we got older, we allowed the opinions of others to determine our self-perception because we long to belong. And how we show up in the world has something to do with the way we were raised. Our parents gave us what they had, period. Right? They couldn't be more than what they were. And some parents did a great job and some parents really struggled with it. And whoever raised you, it doesn't matter. They did, and they could only give you what they could give you. And so for us to expect to have gotten something that they weren't capable of teaching or giving is an unrealistic expectation. And sometimes people are struggling because they were like, you don't know how I was brought up. You don't know what I experienced as a child. You're right. A lot of us don't know. But what I do know is this, that you get to make a decision as to whether or not you're going to continue to come into agreement with what was traumatizing or what was negative in your life. And so words have power. But here's the other thing, right? We have to learn to redefine strength. We got to find another way of identifying our self-worth. What does that mean? It means that society often connects size, whether that's physical or emotional or personality or materialistic, with worthiness. Like, and how do we even break free from those constraints, right? Where the world around us says that the bigger something is, the better it is. Bigger is better. I'm telling y'all, it's probably more Western in its thinking than it is in other Eastern countries. Listen, authentic relationships require us to embrace our full selves. It requires us to also make room for others to be themselves without judgment. And most people value strength. Like, we want to be seen as strong, and we want to be strong in different situations and scenarios. We want to be strong in our life. We want to show up strong in our lives. But we have a distorted view of what that really is. Can I tell you that strength is about adaptability, not about conformity. And so when we make an agreement with the negative self-narratives, then what we make an agreement with is a shame-based conversation we have with ourselves. When what we really need is a growth-based self-narrative. You see the difference between those? And so we have to redefine our self-worth and redefine strength so that we can occupy the space in which we were made to occupy. And that really is this next point is that we got to learn to own the space and walk in confidence. We got to own our space and we got to walk in confidence. Being big is about learning to take up the space that is yours unapologetically. This is so important, right? We struggle because we shrink ourselves so that we can make other people comfortable. There's this tension that exists between humility and confidence. That this tension that exists between them, and we struggle with how to stand tall without being arrogant or being seen even as arrogant. See, humility, it's not just seeing yourself as more valuable or more than anybody else. That's a kind of humility. But the other side of humility, it's learning to occupy the space for which you were designed to fill. I'm telling you, there are places in the world that are designed just for me. They're designed just for me, and I don't have to make an apology or make excuses or whatever to fit into those spaces. I was made for that space. And if I'm being truly humble, I don't think of myself as more worthy than I ought to or more high or valuable than I ought to, but I also don't think of myself less than I ought to. Seeing when I devalue myself, that's not humility. That's not humility. No. And so I have to be authentic, because being authentically me means that there are spaces, right, for which I've been designed to fill, but there are also spaces I was not meant to fill. And so if I'm in spaces that I ain't got no business being in, because I'm trying to be there because I think that's where I belong or that's where I think I'm going to find acceptance, and I experience rejection, some of that is a me problem because I'm showing up in spaces I ain't got no business in. But if I'm in a space I'm supposed to be in, that I'm designed to be in, and I'm experiencing rejection, and I'm experiencing people's judgment, then that's a them problem. That's not a me problem. And I got to know the difference between those two. And so I will not make an apology for my personality. I will not make an apology for the size of my personality. I have a big personality. You know when I have entered the room because you hear my laughter. I will not make apologies for my laughter. This is the way I laugh, and it's loud, and it carries, and it's who I am. I will not make any apologies for it. And listen to me. I will make no apologies for the depth of the capacity that I have to have compassion for other people. I will not make apologies for it. This is who I am, and I'm not made for all the spaces and all the places, and I'm okay with that because I'm okay in this skin. I'm okay with who I am, and I've worked way too hard to come to this place of comfort, to surrender it so that you can be okay. Whether you judge me or not because you don't get me, that's a you problem. That's not a me problem. Okay. In Atomic Habits, James Clear says this: small shifts in self-perception lead to identity transformation. Small shifts lead to identity transformation. So let me offer to you some suggestions of small shifts that I believe will help you in your journey to accepting your size in the world. Okay, you ready? Here's the first one. I want you to shift from a mindset that says, I'm not enough or I'm too much, to I'm exactly enough. I love that. I am exactly enough. So instead of seeing your big personality or your deep emotions or your strong opinions as a problem, let's reframe them as strengths. Like, the world does not need a watered down version of you. It needs all of you. I'm exactly enough. I might get a t-shirt that says that. I don't know. We can start a movement. I'm exactly enough. Number two, here's the other shift. I want you to shift from the thinking, what do they think of me, to what do I think of me? I mean, we spend so much of our energy and time worrying about the external validation of people. I mean, we give way too much power to what other people think about us. We do. We really do. But true confidence, it comes from inside of us, y'all. So instead of measuring myself by others' opinions, what if I focused on my own self-approval? Like, what if you woke up every day and you just asked yourself, what do I need to hear today? And then say that stuff aloud to yourself. I'm just saying. All right, here's the third one. I want you to shift from I'll be confident when ... to I choose confidence now. I choose confidence now. See, confidence isn't something that you earn when you hit the big goal or when you get the big win. It's something that you practice. Yep. So stop waiting for the perfect moment to feel worthy. Walk in it now. Okay. If any of this feels uncomfortable, that's a great sign that you need it. So get to practicing. One of my Peloton instructors, y'all, you know, for those of you who know me, I ride a Peloton. It's what I do. I love it, right? She says, it's always hard until it's not. It's always hard until it's not. And so, yeah, making these shifts may seem hard at the beginning, but I promise as you keep practicing them and you keep practicing them and you keep practicing them, it's going to go from hard to easy. You said I had to put that er on the end, right? Easier. Because sometimes it may not ever get easy, but it might get easier. Right? Because I become more confident in my ability and comfortable in the shift. Let's do this. Say this after me. I deserve to take up space. I'm worthy of relationship, love, and success. Yeah. I am enough. Listen, be big on purpose, knowing that you are enough. I'm exactly enough, oh my gosh, for whatever it is that your life is calling for, you're exactly enough. Listen, I'm grateful for the conversation with you. Remember to be on the lookout for my book, Dante Poole. This is Life Sculptors Podcast. And you're exactly enough.